So in today's episode, we're going to be talking about spiritual practices. All right. So last week, you guys, we were talking about apprenticeship to Jesus, right? And this week we are going to be talking about how we are following after Jesus and how we're creating our lives in order to do that. And I think a good way that we can create space in our lives is to start practicing some of these spiritual disciplines or spiritual practices like we heard off the She Reads Truth podcast. So first, friends, let's talk about the terms spiritual disciplines versus spiritual practices or whatever. What do you guys think there is some, you know, stigma attached to the phrase spiritual discipline?
Before we answer, I just want to say it's okay to be friends. They are friends.
It is so okay. Like, I need a friend. You can call me a friend anytime you want. No, I'm glad you asked that question though, because I was actually thinking just as you were talking about how much I love the fact that we are using that term spiritual practices. And we talked about this a little bit before, but you know, it's not, I think the thing about our relationship with God and other things in our life is it's not about these one-off moves that make us who we are and make our life what it is. It's about what we practice, you know? And like, I was reminded of that this week when my daughter was kind of putting up a little fuss about playing her violin. I think she generally likes it, but you know, she's kind of the type of kid who anything when it comes down to practicing, she doesn't want to do it. She likes the sports until they get really into the practices. And then she's like, nah, I'm good. And so that's just her. And I always have to remind her that anything you're going to do in life, you're going to have to practice. It doesn't matter what it is. And she's like, well, that's not true. And I'm like, yeah, it is. I'm like, you're always practicing something. She's like, well, what am I practicing right now? I'm like, well, you're practicing like being lazy. You're practicing like sitting there and, you know, like, I'm like, you could practice, you know, laying there in your bed. You could practice not listening to your mom. You could practice, you know, reading this book. She's like, oh dang. I'm like, yeah, because you know, we're always practicing something, you know.
Drea, that is so good. I love the analogy you just made because it's so practical, and we can envision that in our own lives and in so many different ways. Like you said, it's about the habits that you're doing or how you're living your life. You're always practicing something. I love that you said it that way.
I do too. And I was just thinking, boom, drop the mic because you got her. You know, that, you know, the Holy Spirit just helped you. He set you up for success to be able to just right. Let her know how it's, you know. But yeah, so I mean, I like the word spiritual, there are two words, spiritual practices, disciplines, what have you. I'm totally for it. And I think you just said that perfectly, Drea, because we're always practicing something, and we could be practicing positive things and we can be practicing negative things. And, you know, it's our choice because we're free in Christ, right? Galatians 5, you know, but then he tells us, do not submit again to a yoke of sin. And so we have to constantly choose to keep our minds renewed. So practicing reading the word of God, keep it. And it's not, oftentimes we get tripped up on like, maybe I need to read a whole book or a whole passage or a paragraph. But I've been, you know, just hearing different people, you know, encourage us by saying, if it's just one verse, you know, that you just dwell on it, or maybe it was just maybe two words that stuck out in that verse, like he speaks, and it's like, yes, thank God he speaks, you know, because I need you to speak, Lord. And if you just got that on your mind all day, then maybe that's you practicing hearing or knowing that God does speak, and so I need to be open to that. And then as you go out there throughout your day, or excuse me, my day, I'm speaking, you know, from as an individual, my eyes become more open to like, oh man, thank you God, because I saw that you were actually speaking through, you know, this person, or I left at just the right time and I did not get in that accident that was in front of me, and not woe to those people, but just you know, he spoke to me and was like, you need to leave right now. Or maybe it was just my being forever lateness, but yeah. So as we're speaking about spiritual practices, I just really had to say, and Tish, can you jump in? Are you going to talk about fasting? Because it's fasting, Sabbath, and tithing. And I know you mentioned that last week. But like, are you going to go into that? She's saying,
I mean, I'll jump on your bandwagon with it.
Okay. So as Tish was talking about fasting, Sabbath, and tithing, which stem from Annie F. Downs on the She Speaks Truth podcast, she was saying that these were some of the spiritual practices. So I found myself last week saying, okay, family, let's sit down and let's, you know, we need to really work on this. So I think that we should have a day of Sabbath. So what does that mean? So, you know, we're going to do it for like 24 hours and we're going to really like set a time from like maybe this time of the day to this time of the day. And I'm just trying to work it out in my head because Sean, you know, he's got so many jobs, tent jobs, you know, he's a pastor and he's counseling and coaching and what, you know, all these little things. And then on top of that, he's got this, he throws a paper out, y'all. And it's not like, you know, like you see on TV where the kids ride their bike and they just like throw the paper. Totally. I don't know if you thought that, but that was what I saw in my mind. And
I did a paper out actually. So I know.
Yeah. My gosh, it was totally out of my mind. I did not know. So he has to get up at like 1 o'clock in the morning and then he travels, about 40, maybe it's 30 miles, 30 to 40 miles to a different city and does the route over there. So he has to leave here by 1 in the morning, get there, I guess, about 1:30 to the plant, to the newspaper plant. So then he has to get his papers. He's got to bag them in his car because it's COVID. And then he has to drive to all the neighborhoods. And then he gets back about, and so he's got to be finished by like 6 or 6:30 in the morning. So each day, you know, he's coming in, it's like, seven, because he's got to drive back. So by the time he gets home in the morning, it's 7:30 in the morning. I'm like, this is not my idea of what a newspaper route looks like. But anyway, I'm sorry, I kind of went on with that. But I was just saying so I was trying to calculate all of the things that he does for work and how we can all kind of abide by this Sabbath together. And then, but it did not go over well, y'all. Well, what does it mean to?
Oh no!
Well, what does it mean to Sabbath? You know, I'm getting these questions even from him. Well, what do you mean? Like, you know, just have some time to self. And well, you can't be. So I'm like, well, you can't be on your cell phone, and you can't have people call you, and you can't be answering calls. Well, you know, what if they're just calling? Maybe I just think that I need to go and call somebody and encourage them. Well, that becomes part of planning, right? So if you know you're gonna have this Sabbath, maybe like on a Sunday. Then that means you need to plan ahead of time that you're going to make these phone calls. And then my one daughter, she was like, well, you can't plan somebody calling you. I was like, Lord Jesus. So, you know, she just got really upset. It just, like I said, it just did not go over well. And I was like, okay. So I think the Holy Spirit was just like, why don't you just set the example? So I guess about 2 hours later, I regrouped. I had everybody come back and I was like, you know, please forgive me because I was trying to put something on you that I felt led to do. So I'm just going to do it myself and practice, you know, being with God and practice the Sabbath that he's called us to do. So again, not trying to put anything on you. And if you know, I wasn't trying to, you know, hurt anybody's feelings by saying that they weren't following God because he's, you know, he said to take rest. So yeah.
Just because it's in the Bible, I wasn't trying to make it actually sound like you're supposed to do it. I'm just okay.
Right. So man, I'm just saying, you know, living after Christ, make, you know, following, having these practices and abiding in Christ and living it out is difficult, you know?
Yeah. And and I think that's a good segue into the discussion about Sabbath, because Sabbath can often feel like it's difficult. And often the conversations that I hear about Sabbath from people are that well, nobody can imagine taking off this amount of time or putting aside doing whatever they usually do. But I think that the thing that drew me deeply into it was when I started hearing, there's two people that influenced it, obviously John Mark Comer and then Pete Scazzaro, because they talk about Sabbath as being something that replenishes you. Like, for some reason, a lot of us think Sabbath is we're just sitting there for 24 hours doing nothing at all. And when Pete Scazzaro and John Mark Comer gave examples of what they do, one of John Mark Comer said, maybe you're making plans to go meet a friend for lunch, or you're going to meet a friend for coffee, or you're going to take a walk, or you're going to take a nap, or you're going to read a book you haven't read, like all these different things that we might desire to do, but we don't have time to do. And so once I heard their examples of what they do on Sabbath, I got super excited to have Sabbath. And like I told you guys, I look forward to it regularly. I mean, and then John Mark Comer just gave me permission to start on Saturday night, because he's like, they used to do it from sundown, you know, to sundown. So I was like, oh, I used to wait till Sunday morning to do it, and I would, you know, cut it off at Sunday night. Now I start at Saturday night, go till Sunday night. And he even says, you know, sometimes they introduce it with like having a meal. So Saturdays now, before I start my Sabbath, or when I start my Sabbath, I plan a great meal, something that I really want to eat. Like today I wanted to make a whole salmon and, you know, some good salad greens and maybe some sort of potatoes or something like that. So I'm going to spend some time making a good meal. And then I start my Sabbath with the good meal, you know, with my family, of course. And then I just relax. But I think it just comes from having a misconception of what Sabbath might look like for you.
Yeah, I'm glad you went there with that, Tish, because I agree. I think Sabbath can easily just become another yoke. And, you know, we saw that come up in the Bible where, you know, the Pharisees would try to accuse Jesus of breaking the Sabbath by healing and doing all these other things. And my pastor, you know, a while back kind of preached a message that sounds really similar to the one you were reading, where, you know, he really just talked about the art of making time in your life to carve out time that refreshes you, because that is so necessary and so part of God's design. And he kind of went through everything you already said, so I don't want to like rehash it, but you know, just the idea of the, you know, all the different ways. It could be watching movies with your family. It could be, you know, if you like exercising, it could be exercising, you know, all these different things that it could be. But the point that I think is so important here to remember is that while the principle of rest and the principle of carving out that time to refresh yourself spiritually may be a very specific direction from God that he not only like showed us, you know, in Genesis when he talked about taking that seventh day of the rest, but he also, you know, it's clearly repeated throughout the Bible. That's specific, but for each person, it really is going to be different. You know, what refreshes you might be different than what refreshes me. And I think that's the important theme that I kind of want to like keep in mind when I'm exploring this idea of spiritual practices and stuff, is that when we try to make the specific action itself, you know, too prescriptive, I think that's when it becomes a yoke. And we have to remember that it's about our personal relationship with Christ, our personal abiding in Christ. And so any of these things, we all have our own idols. We all have our own things that we struggle with practicing and that we don't want to practice anymore, and our things that we want to practice more, but that's not going to be the same for everybody, you know? So I like how you brought it up, how personal it can become.
I love that you mentioned that. And that brings up a struggle that I've had to pray through for several weeks. And that's like my time with God. Last week we were talking and I was telling you guys that I have had to switch my time with God tonight. And I work out in the morning. My workout takes 30 minutes. My Bible study time though has been about an hour and 45 minutes to two, which is why I don't have time to do it in the mornings. I would have to wake up at 5 and that just doesn't happen. But even though I'm spending my time with God at night, I still feel like I'm not measuring up, because Rika was mentioning, we've always heard you have time in the morning with God. That's how it goes. But that has become a yoke, because it's not in the Bible anywhere where it tells us a command is that we have to spend time with God in the morning, right? But because that's been so ingrained in my mind, even though I'm having daily time with God, and I'm spending more than an hour with him, it's not enough for me. It feels like I'm still missing the mark because I don't do it in the morning. And you're right. I remember doing Discerning the Voice of God with Priscilla Shire, and she was just talking about how, you know, our time with God looks different at different seasons of our lives. There are times when we can do it in the morning. If you have a, you know, small child, she said, your time with God might be when you're in the bathroom looking at one scripture and meditating on it for a few minutes and you know, taking it with you throughout the day.
Right. I love it.
It's just, yeah. And it's just, I was so, my heart was so hurt by how I was still spending my time with God and still felt so like I was not doing what I need to do, that I started thinking about all the ways that sometimes as Christians, we make lesser things ultimate and how they affect people now. And so I started to just pray, one, that God would tear down these things that I have in my head that keep me from believing that I'm following God, that I'm trying to be an apprentice to him. And then, you know, and then also that I would be aware of those things so that I don't put that kind of yoke on people, because I don't think anybody has meant to do that. It's just that we're passing on what we've heard. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, get up in the morning, you start your time with God. And honestly, I'm with Rika. If you can do that, do that. I think it's a good way to get up and, you know, cover your mind in the Lord. But if you can't, you know, don't put the weight on yourself that you're not doing it, you know, you're not measuring up because you're not doing it at a particular point of time and day. You know what I mean? And so I just like that you brought up that it's personal for everyone. We're all in different phases of our lives, and we can, you know, our the way we're operating in our life is going to look different.
Perfect. I'm so glad you said that. And I think we, you know, said that last week, and that's why we gave our different takes on, you know, some of our own spiritual practices, and it does look different. And again, I just have to keep saying this, and you all who are listening might, you know, feel like it's redundant, but just to really just say, and this is kind of how we started anyway, but it's Galatians 5:1, that, you know, we're totally free in Christ. And that just means to make your relationship with God rock, because it's about you and him. You know, it's not you, him, and somebody else. It's you and him. And in the end, he's going to be asking you, what did you do with y'all's relationship? And so, yes, like you said, Priscilla said, in different seasons, it's going to look different. And I just love it. But I want to say, maybe, and we're not trying to put a yoke on anybody, but I think maybe the difference is if you're just waking up and rolling over and watching TV. It may not be the news, but I'm just saying, like, if it's just like, I'm turning on Netflix, and this is not, you know, a stab at anyone. I'm just saying, I think what we're just trying to be clear about is what we're putting into our mind all day, or, you know, at different parts of the day. If it's not like you got to roll over and get over and get up and get to work, and you don't have that, you feel like you can't make that time to spend with God in the morning, I think that's okay. But again, I'm human. I'm not judging. And again, it's on you.
I totally agree with that. And that's, sorry, Andrea. I was just going to bring up the whole rule of life thing. Go ahead.
No, that's good. I was just going to applaud Rika for bringing up the Galatians thing, because I was just really thinking too about how much this relates to our central theme here. And I think, Tish, when you were talking, that just was standing out in my mind, that is what Paul's talking about with freedom in Christ. And like you said, I don't think any of these teachers are intentionally putting this yoke on people, but that is what obviously has been happening kind of since, you know, the beginning of Christianity, is we take these things that are good principles in their conception and that work well for some people, and we turn that into an extension, a form of the gospel when it's not. You know, and so we have to, I think, just be alert a little bit, you know, that if a pastor tells us to do a very specific practice that works for them, that's not wrong of the pastor to share that. We can appreciate that. And that doesn't mean that their teaching is wrong, but it also is not the gospel. And we have to, I think, just be at that place where we're aware and able to deconstruct some of these cultural things that have intertwined with Christianity, you know, like Rika's touched on this before, but what all of us have been brought up in is a very Western, you know, almost America specific, you know, version of Christianity that includes a lot of these like lifestyle things that have to do with just our society in general. That, you know, the getting up early is like every self-help book tells you that, like, you know, oh, get in 8 hours before lunch or whatever, you know. And we have to remember that that's not in the Bible, right? And so it doesn't mean it's bad if it works for you, but it also, we, with everything we do, we have to just check it and be like, regardless of how good this practice is, if it's not actually helping me abide in Christ, that is not maybe what God has for me intentionally right now, you know. But I will add really quick that, okay, so just on Rika's last comment about Netflix in the morning, because I know where you're going with there and I totally agree with you, but I was laughing because I had a therapist once who I was telling her about how at night, sometimes she's talking about my nighttime routine and sleeping. I was just talking about how, you know, I want to get off like social media sometimes because I feel like I just scroll Facebook for hours. You know, this was like a long time ago. I feel like I'm better about that now. But she was like, well, you know, or my email or whatever, you know. And she was like, you know, I don't know if you should disconnect completely, because I do think it's healthy for you to be, you know, checking these things, because we're talking about that. And I'm like, yeah. And we actually made a plan. She's like, well, what if you do it in the morning? Because then in the morning, you're not going to be tempted to do it for hours, because you know, you have to get up and get ready and get out of the house. She's like, what if you give yourself 15 minutes in the morning to check your email, check your Facebook, blah, blah. Then you're like, you can feel like you're checked in for the day and you won't do it later. And so I was just like laughing at that, because I was thinking maybe for some person that actually is part of their, like, you know, spiritual accountability, like, because they're struggling with it later. So it speaks again to how I think freedom in Christ can look the same for everybody on an existential level, because Christ is the same. But I have to remember that we're not going to be all freed from the same things. All of us are in bondage on different things. So if we're all struggling with bondage in different things, why would our journey to freedom be the same? You know what I mean? It might all be to the same thing. It might all be to Christ and in Christ, but there's going to be differences there.
Wow. I love it. And perfect segue. Go ahead, Tish.
Yeah, that's good. First, I love that you said that we are deconstructing some of these ways of thinking that have been, you know, engraved in us, in our Christian culture, because I think that's exactly what we need to be focused on trying to do, and making sure with Galatians 5:1 in mind that we are really operating in freedom and not adding anything to the gospel. That's important. I just wanted to give that as a side note. But yeah, so I was meaning to touch on the whole rule of life and abiding in Jesus. So I mentioned to you guys last week that I'm reading John Mark Comer's book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, and I can't even recommend it enough. It's amazing. But as he's talking about apprenticeship to Jesus, he's talking about how to do that. And one of the ways that he says we do that is by developing a rule of life. And he says I'm just going to read a little passage from his book really quick. He says, a rule was a schedule and set of practices to order your life around the way of Jesus and community. It was a way to keep from getting sucked into the hurry, busyness, noise, and distraction of regular life, a way to slow down, a way to live into what really matters, what Jesus called abiding. Key relationships with family and community, the work God has set before us, a healthy soul, you know, the good stuff. And as I was reading that, I was thinking to myself, so, you know, what Rika is talking about, you know, getting up in the morning and maybe rolling over and watching Netflix is maybe not the best way for us to abide. Again, Andrea saying, in order for her to put boundaries around her nightlife, she made a specific decision to do something quickly in the morning. And so that's not like binge watching or giving yourself over to something. And there's a person that says this phrase that I wanted to adapt in my life for this year. She said, Jesus before world. And I thought that's a good, and it doesn't, I like it because it doesn't say 2 hours with Jesus right in the morning. It's just before I let the world speak into me, I'm going to let Jesus speak into me. And that could be as simple as you're looking at your, you know, the Bible app sends you scriptures in the morning. So maybe you're doing that. Or like for myself, although working out's the first thing I do in the morning, I watch my video to follow, but I listen to a podcast and it's always a sermon. And I always, my first thing when I get up in the morning is a thank you to the Lord for allowing me to wake up. I'm speaking to Jesus. And then because I do Bible study at night, I'm still meditating on whatever I read prior to bedtime. And so I think, like you mentioned, just what you're giving yourself over to, what you said about practicing, Andrea, you know, what practices you're making in your life. If, and that's the same thing that John Mark Comer touches on in this book. He says, when he talks to people that are like, oh, I'm too busy to, you know, do these different things that are showing, you know, that are pattern, making a pattern of life like Jesus. He says, well, how many hours of television are you watching in a day? How many hours are you on social media? And he said, typically they'll find out that they're spending way more time in those areas so that if they significantly brought those down, they might have time to do that. And so anyway, for John Mark Comer and his rule of life thing, guys, what would you say are some other things that you're doing? We've talked about Sabbath. I know, Rika, I think you wanted to talk about fasting. And, you know, what are some ways that, what ways are you guys practicing that are maybe setting your life up for abiding in Jesus?
So I'll go. just trying to, you know, gather my thoughts. But yes, like you said, fasting. So my pastor, my husband, it's been more recent within this past year of doing more fasting. Prior to that, I would say maybe I skipped a year of fasting and maybe kind of just kept it to the Lent season. But I'm growing in learning that fasting is important for me. I think we all need to do it at some point, but for me, I think it needs to be more consistent because it helps to keep my mind on God. So sometimes I'm doing it from food. Sometimes I'm doing it from TV, or, you know, from social media, because I find that I can get sucked in. So it helps me just keep my focus on the Lord. So I want to be able to fast like 10 days straight. I don't know where I got that from. I don't know if it was from, was it an Annie F. Downs podcast, She Reads Truth, or was it from Job? Because I'm also reading Job. That's part of our fasting book of the Bible that we're reading through. I don't know where I got that 10 from, but I was like, dang, I so want to do that. But I'm like, I feel like I'm just going to be so hungry. I'm so hungry. but yeah, so fasting, worship, right? Oh, I have to just worship God. Just love listening to, like, cause I just love music. And I think I have an eclectic taste. But I just feel so pumped up and like ready to get out there and, just spend all my day with the Lord. If I'm just listening, you know, to like Lauren Daigle or who else is out there? My mind escapes, but I've got these two guys in my mind, but I can't think of their name. But anyway, so just worshiping God. And sometimes it's not even listening to the music itself, but it's just growing up with those, just those church songs, like, you know, glory, glory, hallelujah. you know, this little light of mine. And it just keeps my mind on the Lord and what he's done for me and what he's doing. And just, I don't know, it just makes me just fall into his arms. So those are my practices, fasting, Sabbath. And of course, I think tithing is just, I don't want to say it's something I do, but I mean, that's a practice as well. But it's just, it's been so recently, I'm not going to even lie, y'all, like in my younger days, and I'm gonna just even say even yeah, so up to I'm about say maybe 2-3 years ago, tithing was difficult. It was like, yes, God, I know this is yours, but I was not obedient as in being a good steward with the money that you gave me, and now I need to pay this bill. Yes, I trust you, but you also said I've got some sense, and so maybe I should pay my power bill because I've got kids, so they, you know, they don't need to know that, you know, I'm frivolous with my money. But anyway, so yes, it was difficult. But now it's like, it's just regular. It's just like the first 10th out, you know, it's not mine, it's God's, and just getting into that habit. So for you all who may be struggling with tithing, know that yes, it's real and it's okay. And, you know, it's sacrificing, and just keep at it, because then it'll get better. Did I get it?
Yep, that's good. And I want to hop on your bandwagon about tithing too, because it was a struggle for me too. It's just the last, like you said, 2 or 3 years where I've made it a practice, and I had to, and this brings us back to the whole rule of life thing. I had to make it, like you said, the first thing on payday. I wake up in the morning, literally when I'm laying in the bed, and I pay my tithes, because otherwise, you know, it can get caught up in the rest of the stuff that I'm trying to do. And in frivolous spending, like you said. So that's a good encouragement, Rika, that just, you have to literally set your life up to do the things that you want to do. And I think that's what John Mark Comer means when he's talking about this rule of life. And I wanted to give an analogy that he brought up. I don't know if it's called a trellis. It looks like that's what it's how you pronounce it. But he says what a trellis is to a vine, a rule of life is to abiding. And I guess a trellis is what you use to hang the grapes up so that they grow well. And so, yeah, so you can't just like let them hang off the ground and stuff. They need to be, that's why when we see vines, you know, they're up on the little thing. And so that supports them so that they can grow. And he's saying that's what a rule of life is to abiding. So how you're setting yourself up, how you're setting your life up, the things that you're choosing to practice are supposed to be the things that are going to help you in abiding with Jesus. And so that was a good example, Rika. Just when payday comes around, you pay your tithes first. That's how I can set myself up to make sure I'm paying my tithes. You know, at night before I go to bed, my books and stuff are right next to the bed. I know this is, you know, I've got to hit that, turn off the TV and do my Bible study. And actually, knowing that I don't have the time available in the morning to do it is the thing that keeps me accountable to do it at night, because otherwise that will escape from me, my time spending with him. And then Sabbath, like I was telling you guys last week, the way I hold myself accountable to that is that I set the rest of my week up for that day. And it just so happens that my week is so challenging and busy, I can't wait for Sunday. So I don't, you know, I don't slack on that, but I make sure I have a meal ready that I don't need to cook, and that I have no cleaning or no tasks, no homework. I mean, even if I did have homework, it's just, hey, I got to do it tomorrow.
Yeah, I can really relate to what both of you guys were just talking about. I think I talked about a little bit last time about how for me a big part of reaching, like, you know, spiritual maturity has been understanding the difference between like habits, you know, in your life, and then intentional practices, and how they really both support each other. And so I just related to a lot of what you said, Tish, off of Rika's segue into tithing there, because I did the same thing. I think there's a few things in my life that I've just learned, when you make them a habit, that's when you really can have that freedom in them and experience the true fruit in them, because it's kind of a too much of a struggle that I don't think God really wants us to take on, to have to, you know, battle and make these decisions on a daily basis. We want to set ourselves up for success. So make a life that has habits in it that support, you know, these things that you're working to achieve. And so that's what I do for tithing too. Just like you guys, I started a long time ago where I just kind of didn't give myself that permission to think about it. You know, I would just do it And I would literally not let myself go to that place in my mind where I would second guess and be like, well, what if, you know? And I think that does require a big step of faith. So I'm not necessarily, you know, saying that it's going to be that easy for everybody, because we're all at different places, you know? But for me, that's what I had to do it. And, you know, it's just like a lot of things, you just kind of, you know, your limitations, you know, your struggles, and you just kind of decide that that's how your life is going to be with that stuff. And, so for me, to answer your question more directly, Tish, about what in my life, you know, do I do as spiritual practices? I think a lot of them are habits. I think things like making an intentional decision that church is going to be a non-negotiable that I don't miss, you know, whether I feel like it or not, whether I'm in the mood, whether I'm tired. And that's not to be a yoke. It's not to say I'm a bad Christian if I do miss it, but just not letting yourself have that second guess. Just like y'all don't question, should I go to work today? You just get in the car anyway and you go. I kind of try to treat church and tithing and things like that as that. And I don't think that diminishes the significance to me, the fact that I've made it a habit. What I think that does is carve out that lifestyle, like, you know, John Mark Cover's talking about, where I'm always going to be showing up. Whatever God does, I'm going to at least be there. You know, it's through no maybe deliberate will of my own, but just be out of habit, you know? So I have that. I have church that I make a priority. I do tithing. This talking with you guys every weekend, we had to really work, all three of us, to come to a place in our lives where we kind of decide that same thing. Like, hey, no matter what, we're going to do this every Saturday morning. Even though every Saturday something will come up, you know, we had to make that a deliberate thing. So for me, I see the value in those, and just kind of finding whatever it is in your life that supports that abiding in Jesus. And whether that's making sure that you're always sign up for the Bible studies, whether it's keeping that core group of people, whether, you know, something that's a habit for you in your lifestyle. And then the other things are fall into more the intention category. And so for me, that's actively searching for what's maybe derailing me from those habits, or what's maybe just derailing me from that abiding in Christ. And that's a little more introspective. That takes time to kind of part, you know, ask the Holy Spirit, search me, tell me what I'm struggling with. Tell me where I need your power here, God, because it's going to be different in different seasons. You know, there's going to be different times in your life where you're struggling with different things. And, you know, so like an example of, you know, different ways that I might feel that is, one question I've learned to ask myself is, you know, where does your mind go as your default? You know, that's kind of what some of your idols are. And that could be so many different things. It could be a worry I have, or it could be something I'm really into, maybe a hobby I'm into that isn't a bad hobby, but I'm recognizing it's consuming too much of me. And I need to, yeah, maybe put some of those boundaries in place to set habits against that. And so that's why I love the personal aspect of, you know, what time in the morning is good for you or bad for you. I personally feel like, kind of like you were saying, Tish, where even if I recognize I need to do something else, I like at least starting my day with God, because I think that does set the tone of my mind. And I was thinking about actually changing maybe my Bible study up tonight, because I've noticed lately I went through a season in my life where morning Bible study was so, so good for me. And I wanted to make it forever morning. But lately I felt this pressure of like hurrying through my Bible study so that I can get to my stuff. And when I was at night, I never felt like that. I felt like I just got to just do it as long as I wanted and whatever. So maybe I should switch that up and do something a little bit, you know, different there. So I think we always got to be searching for those specific things to support that.
I love that. I know we're going to end soon, but I wanted to piggyback on the searching, because that's actually, we don't really talk about that as a spiritual discipline or practice, but that's huge. That's just huge. Searching your heart for, you know, those things. So thank you for bringing that up, Drea. That's good. I'm going to keep that at the forefront of my mind, you know, going forward, because I do make a habit of searching, but I think it's important for me to make it a daily practice, because it is a daily thing. Things sneak up in my heart and in my mind on a regular basis. And so thank you for bringing that up, Drea. That was good.
Awesome. Romans 12:1, right? Renewing your mind, checking in. What you thinking about? How you feeling? I love that you brought that up. I also think, and I know you said we got to go, I think it's also a practice to be in community. I know I mentioned earlier that it's your relationship with God It's individual, yes. However, you do need a community. You do need people who are doing life with you, who believe that walking with God is important, because you need people to encourage you, you know, and you do the same. And also, I like to use this word, check you. What should we call it? Help you with a spiritual evaluation. That's a nice
The Christian
way.
Word is accountability, but it's checking you. You need somebody to check you.
Thank you. I was trying to be all, you know. Yes. So if you don't have that, we'll be praying that, you know, that God sends someone or people, and that it'll work out in your church. And I know maybe a lot of people aren't meeting, gathering in their churches, but that there'll be some groups that you can get affiliated with, and friends to pray for you and love on you and encourage you, build you up, and you do the same as them. And that's a form of serving.
I just want to real quick, like, add to what you just said, Rika, because I second that so much. And I was thinking while you're talking about how so many people are probably struggling right now with the situation, you know, in this pandemic and everything, with, you're like, oh, great, I need community, but how do I get that? And I just want to encourage people to make that, like Rika's saying, is part of your habit, you know, as part of your practice, finding that community, because that's what will save you. I am the most introverted person ever. And so I have struggled so long with that. Oh, I need community, but okay, that sounds, you know, it's a lot easier said than done, right? And so for me, just making that practice of, you know, if there is a group to sign up for, do it. Even if you feel like it's going to be terrible and awkward and painful, just do it and don't let yourself second guess yourself and try it out. I did a digital home group for church and it's been life-changing. It took me a long time to get to that place where I was willing to open myself up to do that. But exactly like you said, that being part of my life as a habit invites that accountability that I wouldn't be able to get on my own because of things like the pandemic and my awkward social skills and all these other things.
Awkward social skills. I don't see that in you at all, but okay.
That's why I like you. So
hilarious. God loves every part of us. You know, that's why we, you know, love him. But anyway, so thank you for joining us on this episode. Join us back here next week.